Welcome to JB Trio Podcast, Season 7, Episode 14. I'm Lee McDonald Jr.
Chris Woodmancy.
Mark the Ancient Warrior Merchant.
So good.
Yabba Dabba Doop. That says it all. Now let's gather round for a momentous occasion. It is with great pleasure that I announce the triumph of Neil Brady, who has emerged victorious in the JB Trio's March Madness Big Bracket Eliminator. Neil has bowled his way to a title and $100. But let's all recognize the bowling greatness within our presence every Tuesday at Louisville Lanes. And for all of you who listen and host the podcast named Chris, just reflect on what a truly monumental achievement this is. Congratulations, Neil Rockjaw Brady.
You heard it from the man himself, Mr. Morgan Freeman. Mr. Neil Brady, he has won the March Madness bracket against Darren by shooting the second highest series in the league this season. So thank you for joining us, Mr. Neil Brady.
Thank you. I always appreciate a call to join the podcast. Oh, sorry. Hold on a second. I got to reposition my wallet in my back pocket because all that money I'm holding in that wallet now. Yeah, it's kind of hard to sit on it now. Hard to close it now.
$100 bill.
Okay. 100 big ones.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me? I went to the strip joint. I turned it into $99.
$101.
$99.
Hey, I gave $1 to one of the chicks. Hey,
how about that?
I'm not completely cheap.
Exactly. Mr. Neil, he's not cheap Brady.
Thank you. That's right.
Oh my God! What the hell?
Oh my God!
You bring one of them home?
Like, is that one of those toys that I see on the pop up on the right hand side of my computer?
Oh my God! Really? You give her a name, even, huh?
It's one of Chris's blow up dolls. Is it?
One that Camilla's not jealous of?
It might be. Oh my God!
She sounds anime. Is that what you're into, Chris? Anime?
I mean, you can't go wrong with it.
You know what the translation, Lee, is literally for anime? It means how Japanese people think that American people look like. That's anime.
Oh, really?
It's right? It's always kind of weird. We always got big eyes, and it's like, come on, man.
You know, Chris. Big eyes, and all the girls have big boobs.
Chris was telling us a couple weeks ago they shut down the porn site here in Texas, so we needed to blow up.
Did I say that to y'all? Did I inform y'all this?
You made an announcement. It was like a part of your life is missing.
Yeah,
really.
So you got the next best thing—a blow-up doll.
Oh, now it all makes sense.
It does.
That's the one he got from the Scarborough Fair. The Viking, the Viking, Viking. Yep. So anyway, that's what Neil did to Darren this past Tuesday. He just dashed all of his hopes. Darren was hoping he had a chance. He even shot good. He shot 690 with his handicap, but it was no match for Neil. Neil shot 779 with his handicap, second highest series in the league, only behind Larry that shot that 789 scratch early in the league. So kudos to Neil. He won the final bracket of the season. And it was quite an interesting week that we had last week. So just to go over the fastest 3 minutes in bowling, we start out with Mark's team. Team 5, Slate Sloppy Seconds against Team 14, Almost Empty Nest. And it almost was an empty nest. Mark's team whips some ass. It was 46 out of 48 points. And a much-needed victory week for Mark's team. They killed it, and we'll talk about them here in the standings here in a second. So kudos to Mark. And next pair, a Kiss Your Sister week with team number 4, Blame It on the Alcohol, and team OG. Team OG even brought in Joe for the third bowler to sub, and they still managed to just barely kiss your sister. Patrick, unfortunately, he'd been bowling great for months, and for the first time he actually bowled under average, so unfortunately for Patrick, did not come at a good time. late in the season, but they still managed to squeak out a Kissinger Sister 24 out of 48. Next pair was Team 11, Ricky and the Two Mics. They bowled up against Team 10, Chris's team. And Chris, if you had to say how the night went down, how would you put it in words?
Yeah, it fucking sucked.
Perfectly said. Yes, they sucked ass. It was Leland bowling like crap. Chris, I think, had a 120 the first game, although I did finish with a 220. Yes, Chris, we all remember the 120. Mm-hmm. And they got their hopes crushed. They only won 16 out of 32. So Ricky's team that was in last, I think they might be in last still, they won 32 out of 48. So good job to Ricky's team. Next pair, the first place team, Team 7, the S team, bowled against a really tough team, Three Fingers Deep, which is Rick Connor, his son, and George. And the S team prevailed. First place team, and unfortunately I didn't pick them. They won 32 out of 48. I should have picked them.
I picked them.
That was the one pair that we had to look at, and so Chris gained a point on me and beat Mark's picks. Mm-hmm. But the S team prevailed. Kudos to them. They are still in first. Next pair is Team 8, Pin High, Craig and Gino and Tina. Gino was currently in first for MVP, and they bowled against Neil's team. Neil, who we'd mentioned earlier, bowled great, had the second highest series of the league. They won 32 out of 48. It was a tough night, but they prevailed still, 32. So good job, Neil. My team, Team 1. Who you calling a pinhead, or who you calling a pinhead, according to Chris, against Team 12, the men in the 10 pin. And hey, we won again. We won 41 out of 48. Had a good set. Peyton bowled a little bit better, a lot better than he did last week. And we ended up winning. Greg bowled good as well. And last pair, Team 13, BD in the pocket against Team 3, Wicked Trio. BD ended up winning BD. They were 34 out of 48, so kudos to them. Bowled really good. Matthew Macy bowled really good. He had a 276 game for his last game, so kudos to Matthew Macy. All right, on to the standings. Really close. Thank you for joining again, Chris.
Yeah, I heard the thing. 604.
There's that blow-up doll. Must have got mad at us.
Yeah.
All right, so the S team, they are in first still, 401. In second place, Slate, sloppy seconds. Mark's team shot all the way up to second. They're only 5 points out of first. They're 396. They leapfrog Slate's Rockheads. That's got 393. They're currently in third and only 8 points out of first. Team OG slipped just slightly. They're in fourth now at 376, with BD in the pocket moving up to 371 in fifth. Three Fingers Deep at 362 right behind them in sixth place. In seventh, Blame It on the Alcohol moving up. They're at 356. Who you call the Pinhead moving up slightly?
Four.
We're at 349. Four. Pin High, Team 8, falling still. They're at 338, but they are above 500. Almost Empty Nest, unfortunately, has had three bad weeks in a row. They have fallen to 10th place at 314. Put your thumb in it. Chris's team at 298. They moved up to 11.
Yes, sir.
They did lose that week. The men in the 10 pin, who had a worse week, at 297. And Wicked Trio moved up out of the last place position. They're at 268. And in last place still is Ricky's team, Ricky and the Two Mics, at 233. So first place up for grabs, only 8 points separating three different teams, three tough teams. And this week is kind of, I wouldn't say easy, but first place team is bowling Almost Empty Nest, which is in 10th. Second place team, Mark's team, they're bowling Wicked Trio, which is next to last. The only tough pair, I would say, would be Neil's team. They're okay. Up against Three Fingers Deep.
Okay, that's fine.
So that's going to be an interesting match. And Neil, you said earlier before the podcast started that two of your guys are missing?
Yeah, so we knew Jared would be out. He informed us he's actually heading out to the Nationals in Vegas. He actually has to do some work out there early in the week, and then he'll be bowling at the end of the week, even though his scores are never official, so he's actually not technically competing against the rest of us. And then Gilbert, just feeling a bit under the weather, found out today that he won't be bowling tomorrow night. So We are enlisting another super sub, Kiefer Boyer, and Ryan Curtis is subbing for Jared. So we got our two super subs lined up for this week. So I feel good. We'll try and put up some big scores. We'll see what happens. But we got Rick's team. We got the Connors and George. So that'll be a tough week, no doubt.
Yeah, with those two guys bowling, you'll be kicked up to the leadoff bowler.
No. I very well could be. Yeah, I'm bowling well lately, but I don't know if it's still higher. It's definitely not higher than Ryan's average. And yeah, I don't know what Kiefer is.
Depends on what Kiefer's. So let me look it up because he's bowled with us before here. So Kiefer Boyer, he's at 213.
Oh, yeah, so, then I'm going to go first. Wow, that'll be first.
So you're recruiting two bowlers that are higher than the highest average. You got the highest average in the league right now at 209. God, you moved up two pins late in the year. That's really good. So 209, but you got two higher average bowlers subbing in. So I guess that's just the luck of the draw.
I have an ego, but my ego only – all I care about my ego is that I'm ahead of somebody with the initials CW in average at the end of the year. So I don't know who it is exactly, but as long as I'm higher than that person, everything else doesn't matter. We can finish in last. It'll be horrible. It doesn't matter. As long as I beat CW, I'm good to go.
Hey, I know somebody else who moved above that person. I moved up to 202.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Chris got bumped down to all the way to 201.
Wow.
That's the seventh highest average in the league now, Chris.
Wow. If you keep bowling this way, you're going to be lower than the men. You're going to go below the Mendoza line.
No, my God. I hear you. I mean, the lanes haven't been too kind to me lately.
He's setting himself up because he's the comeback kid, and he says, I'm ready for the pressure. I'm just adding.
Yeah, I got to spice it up. I got to spice the story up.
Exactly.
Well, maybe you need a couple of good fouls to kind of reset things.
You know, probably. Get you
back in the same mindset.
Yeah, that's a good man. That's a great advice. Thank you so much, man.
I saw Camilla foul Tuesday night. I knew it. I warned her. I said, I've been seeing you foul a little bit. And sure enough, they had the foul lights on. I saw, what was it, 23, 24.
Oh, yeah. I heard she the did foul. Yeah, she did foul.
Yep. I told you to tell her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so see.
Yeah, Chris, you're supposed to be teaching her bowling, but only the good stuff. Not the bad stuff.
What happened to the one ball? It's not supposed to be one foul. It's supposed to be one ball.
one foul per week, okay?
Oh, okay. We're allowed. We're allowance.
That for her, not for me. I don't foul.
Oh. What was your record? Six or eight? What was that number?
No, I don't remember this conversation.
I remember his last summer with Austin. He was Austin's face since.
Probably another guy.
Oh yeah, that's right. All right, so there's the standings. So it's going to be an interesting week, but definitely probably the biggest mountain to climb would have to be Slate's Rockheads because they got three fingers deep, which is George and Rick and his son Caden. His son Caden also just recently we found out. Got accepted into the Flower Mound PD. So he went to the police academy for the last couple of years, passed all the tests, and now he's going to be the next Flower Mound policeman. So kudos to Caden. He made it. So next time you get pulled over in Flower Mound, hopefully it'll be Caden who'll let you off the hook. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. Caden, you just hear that. But just in case, Caden, if I'm ever driving, you never know. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, that's what's happening in the league. And it's getting down there. We're at what, week 33? And we've only got till week 35, and then week 36 is position round, and then whoever wins that night and first will bowl for the roll-off to see who's the grand champion the week after. And right now, Mark's team is the team that won the first half, so we could be looking at a grand champion if they keep it up.
No, the S team got it all the way.
Yeah, they've been winning. They've won for a month now.
Yeah, I mean, like with handicap like that, you can't beat that.
I don't know, Mark. How do you feel you'll get your chances against them?
You know, look, you just never know. It's just the luck of the week. You know what I mean? Even though we took 46 last week, it wasn't easy. I mean, every game, two of the games came down to the 10th frame. You know, you never know. I mean,
now you broke out of your slump too.
Unless you're bowling Chris's team, you really never know what's going to happen.
Sadly. His team's your name, Titanic.
No. Next year, I'm going to create a whole new team. I'm going to create a monster team, and then we're going to win. We're going to win it all. Because I got second place with my other team that dropped. I'm building a good team. I just need to build a team of winners, not losers.
Willing winners?
Yeah, willing winners.
Willing winners.
Willing to do what I say and win.
Oh, wow. Well, so that means you're going to fire Camilla and Leland?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're already gone.
I
told them they could be partners next fall, whatever they want to do, whatever Suser needs, but I am out.
I think Leland's going to rejoin my team, so we're going to have the family back together.
That's good.
I think Greg is trying to recruit Elena back, and she's going to bowl with us this summer. I think her and Greg are bowling together again. So we definitely, and that's the time of season I got to start asking around. Actually, we should all be asking around who's going to come back for the summer, who's going to come back for the fall. And usually around this time, Chris, you're already recruiting. What's going on?
I've been slacking. Yes, you're right. I'm not recruiting right now, currently. But I mean, my ledger is full of people. Yeah, I got names that I need call up on. And
somebody said your ledger dried up weeks ago.
Is it ledger or alleged?
No, ledgered. My little book of people and money.
Alleged ledger.
Yeah, alleged ledger. Yeah.
Hey, I heard. Hey, Chris, I heard David Carter's. He might be a little bold next year.
Well, if his expansion lifted by then, I mean,
That might stop
it. I wouldn't mind hitting him up if it was lifted.
I mean, last two bowlers that you heavily recruited was Austin from last summer and David from this past fall, and both are nowhere to be seen.
Yes, this is true.
Your track record's not too good.
Yeah, because my interview process is not strong enough. I'm going to reamp it, and I'm going to get players who are willing, winning, and
maybe we're going to win. Maybe it's your background check. You got to come up with a better background check.
Probably, because I'm getting a bunch of losers.
Hey, Chris, you need to recruit that guy from the traveling league, the secretary a few years back there, who took like $80,000.
Oh, my God.
The prize fund.
Oh, my God.
And just conveniently left town. Oh, yeah, that's a real story.
It is a real story. I remember that.
Yeah, and they had to bring him back. You know why? Because nobody had access to the software that ran all the averages and all the scores.
And the bank account,
so they had to bring the guy back. They had no
choice. They did. I remember everything. I forgot the guy's name, though.
Was he keeping the money? Or like,
I don't know his name. I don't know about the money, but technically people are bonded. So even Lee or whoever else is you guys should be bonded so that if you do run away with the money, the bond pays and reimburses the league.
Yeah, I may have to take a few pointers from him. The cash payout's coming up. Mm-hmm. I think need to figure out how to say
on the final week, on the sweeper week, guys. Hey, guys, we all get $100.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who's supposed to audit the money is normally the president. Maybe there is something that's going on.
I haven't been auditing nothing for the past 4 years.
Yeah, you have. You've been coming at Bank of America every time with me to cash out the money.
And I don't read it. I just see numbers, and boom, sign here. I'm done.
So you don't want me to send you any more bribes?
Yeah.
Because those bribes helped out pretty good.
Man, I mean, notice.
Chris, what's your highest education level? Maybe this needs to.
Middle school. Needs
to, like, you know. Middle school, okay. Would you go to like George Washington Middle School or something?
It's called
GW
Winfrey.
Winfrey?
Mm-hmm. Like Oprah Winfrey? Windows 98 app.
Yep.
It was one of those Oprah schools? Those starter schools that Oprah came up with?
Exactly. She said we can have it all if you just dream big.
So you get a diploma and you get a diploma.
No, it wasn't a diploma. It was a GED.
I heard of that school before. It's for special needs kids.
So that's why.
Yeah, is that where all the short buses go?
That's where you can buy them.
That was that short bus that Chris couldn't climb into.
Oh,
what Christian used to drive.
Oh my God, the big bus. Can you imagine Christian drives a short bus with big ass wheels?
You still have not fulfilled that.
And I would never do that.
That's still a bet that you still got to do.
That's right. Never in my life.
He brought it down. I saw it a couple of weeks ago, parked right
next to the building. Oh, really?
Yeah. He had it outside. Yeah, right next to the building.
Next time he comes, we need to get the phones out, video cam, Chris trying to get in.
No.
Yes. You have to fulfill that bet. Come on now. Otherwise, you'll be not a moocher. What do they call that?
Indian giver.
No, that's not a dad. It's something else.
No. You're welching on your
welching.
Bet,
but that's
yeah,
it.
He's definitely welching. Yeah,
he's known for welching.
I don't even know what that word means. Like, are we talking like welch, like grapes?
Oh my god!
Even though he paid me my $20, what was that? 2 weeks ago, Christian
yeah,
stepped up.
It was about.
You stepped up large. I didn't even need to ask you about it. You had it ready to go, and I do appreciate that.
No problem. He paid you before he even lost the bet.
Yeah,
you know what? He was
Oh yeah.
No, I did not. No, I paid him as soon as I lost. I paid him after the third game.
Yeah, he first went over to Tracy. He was going to get a wood plaque done up for you.
Yeah, for my $20.
Exactly. $20 yeah. plaque. If I would have done that, yeah. I would have gave him $5 instead of $20.
Oh, wow.
The plaque cost $15. I would have used his money to pay for it.
Speaking of Tracy, we may have some things on the horizon. We've been talking with Gilbert, and he's going to come up with a segment pretty soon that instead of having a guest on, since we can't have everybody on at once, or at least once a week, since the scheduling is pretty tough, we may have Tracy just go down and interview bowlers. So she's going to be our sideline reporter.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
So that maybe. So look maybe for that on the horizon.
JB interview corner segment.
Yeah. Or something. Exactly. Or Tracy's tricks or something.
I don't know. You might want to change the name. Yeah.
I'll have to run that
I'm
by
not
her
sure
first.
I would like that.
I'll have to run that by her first, get her stamp of approval. Sorry, Tracy.
Sorry, I had to say it.
All right. On that note, talking about movie tricks and everything, why don't we go into our next segment, which is Neil's top 10.
Thank you, Lee. Yes, this is my top 10. As you stated earlier, this is my take on movies. And where do we go this week? Previously, we went to movies that I liked, movies that I thought were well done.
80s movies, I think it was.
Mostly, yeah, it was basically a lot of 80s movies, but things that I liked, you know, and there were some popular ones and there were some offbeat ones. So this week, we're delving into films that I've seen that I think, to use a word that Chris is very familiar with, and he started saying it out of the womb, these movies suck. These are some of the worst movies I've ever seen. I never want to see them again. I don't care if they're free. I just don't care. They are really bad movies.
I can't wait to hear this list.
You know what? On one of these movies, I'm gonna have the AMF guys play it on those little mini monitors. So when he's bowling, the movie will start playing.
You'll have to do that when you guys bowl heads up.
That's fine. Hopefully I can handle it. As long as Merchant's not walking up on my left, I can throw a bowling ball. Merchant's up on my left. That's when I have an issue. So
Okay, to start off,
and there is no order on these. These are just random thoughts that I've thrown
down.
We're
not doing 0 through 10 or 1 through 10.
Well, it is 1 through 10. Okay, so I'll start with first movie. This movie is horrible, absolutely one of the worst. It's the fourth in a franchise, and by the time you get to the fourth, most franchises kind of shot their load, right? Yep, let's be honest.
I think I
Jaws
know what it is.
The Revenge.
Jaws the Revenge. I'm thinking that.
My best.
How bad
best
is that?
Movie ever. The best movie ever.
What? No way.
A Great White Shark tracks the family down to the Caribbean.
Best Not movie the, come ever.
On. So the mom.
And the worst part of it is, if everybody remembers, all of these may have spoiler alerts because I don't give a crap. These are so bad you shouldn't even waste your time.
Yes, people, if you're out there, spoiler alert city. It's going to be spoilers everywhere.
Yes. So in this movie, the mom, Miss Brody, right, of the cop who's already passed away, that she ends up killing the shark when the shark jumps out of the water, and she ends up using the front of her boat to basically lance the shark and kill him. Now, come on, give me a break, man. That's about the worst ending ever. And you know what's almost worse? Mario Van Peebles doing a Caribbean accent. I mean, my God, dude, horrible. That can't be any worse than that.
Yeah,
it's almost as bad as Brad Pitt doing that Caribbean accent he did. And what was that movie where he's Meet Joe Dark or whatever that is? That was horrible,
too. Oh, my God,
yes. Yeah, that's almost as bad. Okay, number two.
Never seen the movie.
Cabin Boy from 1994. Anybody know that film?
Oh, my God.
I was born in 93, so no.
Oh, God. You were, only 1 year old. Yeah, this movie is so bad. I actually saw it in the movie theater.
Oh, wow.
And I went with a buddy of mine and his wife wanted to disown me and my buddy for choosing this film. Wow. This film has Chris Elliott in it, if anybody remembers him. Popular guy. He was in Something About Mary. He was also the camera guy in Groundhog Day.
Was the guy with the weird hand.
Yeah, with the weird hand.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy.
That's Chris Elliott. Yes. So this one, he was just getting a paycheck, let's be honest.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So number when you three, paid to see that movie, was it like 50 cents? Back in
the day? and you got popcorn and a soda for that, too.
I bet.
Throw it in. And Jujubes. I think they're selling Jujubes.
Wow. Jujubes.
Okay, so number three on the list, Killer Clowns from Outer Space from 1988. Oh, no,
wait a minute. We're going to have fighting words with this. What? You don't like the
movie? It's actually very comical. It is a cult classic. But let's be honest, how many brain cells are we killing by watching that thing? The spaceship is in the form of a big top, right?
Yeah, a big top.
The aliens in this case are killer clowns.
Yeah.
They actually put people in cocoons, which are made of cotton candy.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that's worse is that the guy from who was the Dean Wormer. Dean Wormer from Animal House actually, once again, just like Chris Elliott, got a paycheck on this movie and mailed it in. So
that was the only best part about that movie, but it was a cult classic.
It is a cult classic, I'll give you that. Okay, this film I actually saw on a plane one time taking a trip, and I was ready to open the exit door and just jump out of the plane because it was so bad, this movie. River Runs Through It, 1992. There's nothing worse than fly fishing. There's nothing worse than actually doing fly fishing other than watching a movie about people who are fly fishing.
Okay, so that doesn't get any worse. I'm getting the trend of these movies. No wonder they suck because they're freaking made in the old times.
That's true. I'm gonna get a little more current. Not too much current, but I'll get a little more current. So another, once again, somebody looking for a paycheck. Brad Pitt was in that movie, if we recall. Yep. And early on in his career, trying to make a name for himself, other than some other crap that he threw in the 90s, that was pretty bad. Okay, number five out of my top 10, Starship Troopers from 1997.
What? Oh, man. No,
I've seen that.
That is a horrible movie. Come on.
What's one? Was one the first one? Wait, the first one?
Yes, the first one.
What? That's the movie that set up so many other movies.
Yes.
It set up Independence Day. It set up.
Really? Okay, let him debate. Why is it worse? Go.
All it is a bunch of guys who we don't even really know most of them, right?
And they go to some planet
and they're trying to exterminate these bugs who are trying to overwhelm them. And there's thousands and millions of bugs.
Yep.
And they actually survive and shoot them all up.
Isn't Jester in that? Michael Ironside? Isn't Jester in that?
I don't know.
I think
the only thing that made an impression on me, Lee, was Denise Richards.
That's the only thing
in this movie that made me impression.
Oh, my God.
And that
she did that, but right before she did Wild Things.
Correct. Wild. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Man, you made it insane.
Oh, my God.
You make it.
Okay, number six. Even though this guy's a big-time actor, he also mailed it in on this one. Ace Ventura When Nature Calls.
No! I hate you, Neil.
Yes.
What?
The first Ace Ventura was a classic, right? Laces out, all of that, the little footballs as cookies. That's a great film. Ace Ventura When Nature Calls, like many other second films in a series, does not hold up as well.
When he comes out of the rhino's ass, you don't like that?
I don't know. I'm not into rhino. I don't know anything about rhino asses.
He comes out of the rhino's ass.
Yeah. I'm not into African wild animal species. I don't know. Dang. Just something about it throws me the wrong way. Okay. We'll agree to disagree on that one. Okay. So then you guys are really going to hammer me on this one because I'm not a fan.
Oh,
I know a lot of people like it, but it's really, it doesn't age well for me.
Uh-oh.
Independence Day, 1996.
Oh my God!
I don't like it.
Why?
No, it's not good.
No, the second one sucks. The first one. The second one sucks.
The first one. No. Now come on.
You're talking about the first one.
A spaceship that had crash landed in the desert approximately 50 years or 40 years ago. They're able to actually imagine if someone from 40 years ago took a jet and came back into our time now. So they took a jet from 1984 and came to 2024. Do you think we might identify it that it's a little old and this isn't maybe something's not a little weird? Maybe. I don't know. The fact that the aliens are that stupid to let Will Smith fly up into the middle and then, you know, put that virus into their software, I think that's a little far-fetched. Yes, they're not the smartest alien species.
All right, so you don't like its reliability.
Yeah, reliability.
Yeah, the reliability there, yes. Now, talk about a guy mailing in again. Randy Quaid, this is right on the part where he was getting completely wheels off. So his character in this movie is not far from his real personality.
That's why he did such a good job in it. I can't believe it.
I guess you could say that, yes.
He can't believe it.
He doesn't do much. Okay, now this one's a big film. This was a big hit. Now, Chris, you'll be happy because
Independence Day wasn't?
Well, this was bigger than Independence Day, if you can believe it.
Exactly.
Avatar 2009.
Okay. Yeah,
that sucks. Yeah. Avatar, oh my God. Visually a great Avatar movie, fan. But no storyline.
I hated it, Avatar. I hate it.
That wasn't the biggest Avatar.
I hated that. I hated that.
No, that's a bad film. Visually, it was very good. We all love Sam Worthington. He's a great Australian actor.
Yeah.
Has some props. But in this one, nah, not cutting it, man. You know what? Enough of this bullshit going to other planets, saving people. We need people in the United States and on Earth to be saved.
Yeah, I agree on that. That's an agreeable one.
Okay. Next one, also at least more recent, or at least somewhat more recent.
I think we're down to the top two.
Yeah, the last. This is number 9. So this is part of the Alien franchise, a very distant cousin, the movie Prometheus from 2012.
Wait a minute now. That's a classic. That's a great movie.
I don't know. It's supposed to talk about the origins of man, right? And I'm like, I'm left there saying, I don't know. How many movies do you have to watch where someone sees something that's in a cocoon or in an egg, and then you just put your face right into it and let it just grapple on you. How many times does that have to happen before you figure out it's a bad idea?
You think John Hurt did a bad job on the original Alien? That's a classic scene. That's like one of the most memorable scenes ever.
No, the best part of anything having to do with Alien is the scene from Spaceballs where the monster comes out of the stomach and dances across the counter. That's the best Alien thing I've ever seen.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my Clementine. That's right.
Exactly.
And remember the famous line from that? What did he have? He had the special. I'll have the soup. Yes.
What did he have? Oh, he had the special. That's what I ordered. By the great John Candy. Oh,
yes.
Man.
Okay, and in number 10, kids would be upset.
This is a movie
from 2016. This is a Disney movie, which I think was well-liked. It had a very famous actor doing the voice of the main character. And a movie that I could not keep my eyes open. I don't care how much popcorn and soda I had ingested. Moana. Oh, my God. That was like the worst ever. Oh, my God. My kids had to keep whacking me to keep me up. And The Rock. Geez. I mean, come on, man. Talk about mailing in a paycheck for that one. That was bad. That's one of worst movies. Disney was on their way down on that one.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one. It was pretty bad. Yeah.
That was pretty
bad. So possible future top 10 movie list that I'm coming up with. My top 10 horror films, I'm going to put that together, things that I like, and it's going to span the genre from the classics that you know to some of the, you know, avant-garde stuff you're not aware. And then also maybe, you know, top movies that show some skin.
So, really?
Right? Like, you know, hey, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
We mentioned,
you know,
things Wild like Things. That. Chris, you got to
Wild Things. There you go. Right. So, yeah, so that one, that'll have a parental rating before the podcast starts. So that one, it's family friendly. I don't want the Saunders kids listening to that one, okay? That's probably not a good idea. Especially the little guy. I don't want to get him on that. He'll put that over the speaker system.
And stay tuned for Chris's top 5 porn movies.
Yep. Yep. And I give you the URL at the end, at the bottom of it.
Oh, God. That's not a dirty.
All right. Well, here's a future list, too. So I'll give you one final list. So, yes, we could do popular movie names converted to porn movie names.
Oh,
nice. Like driving it in, Miss Daisy, things like that. Those are good. You know, we need a full 10 list of those.
Oh, my God. Or back to school. What would we call that? Behind the back school or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I got you. That's great. All right, that was Neil's segment. We had his first top 10 movie picks last month. We just now did part two, and look for part three in about a month or so. So Neil will have that list for us. Can hardly wait. But right now, we got to go for real quick. Chris, how'd everybody do in the bracket?
Horrible.
Horrible?
Horrible.
Why, because you lost?
Yes.
Exactly.
So now the bracket's over?
Yep, bracket's over, guys. Good job. What? Congrats to everyone who played. No, everything's like good. I'll go pretty quick here. All right, first round, we have myself versus Ron fucking Reynolds. I lost. Ron moves on.
What was the score?
We don't have to go. We don't have time, you said. He said we don't have time. I'm trying to go fast here.
Oh, my God. Why I want to know the score.
Oh, my God. You're needy. Gosh. all right, fine. I shot a Bubba, and then Ron shot a 648, beating me.
648 against what? Oh my God! Does it start with a four?
506.
50. Oh my God! That's a handicap.
No, it's scratch. It's scratch league.
Wow.
Yes, I know. It wasn't so great.
And that was with a 221 in there.
Yes, it was 221 in there.
Oh my God! Okay. All right, next.
Okay. Joe Bear shot a 576 versus George Martinez 638. Ron versus George will be going against.
Nice. That'll be a great match.
Yes. Jerry Gallegos versus Neil fucking Brady. Jerry shot a 600. Neil shot a 7-something stupid.
46.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something stupid.
Which I want everybody to know, Lee shot that earlier in the year. So, Lee, you and I have tied for
second.
We're tied.
We are tied. Yes. Exactly. Yep. Second highest series.
Neil will be going against. The next round is Fred. Shot a 655 versus Lee fucking McDonald. Sucked it up with a 604. Fred moves on.
Hey, I took pride in that 604.
Fred moves on to go against Neil.
That'll be another good match.
That will be good.
I'm just shocked Fred finally made it.
Is that it, or is there another?
No.
Oh, wow. So we're final four. Mm-hmm. Fred versus Neil and Ron versus George.
Georgie.
Mm-hmm. Georgie. So George out for some revenge. He got second place last time. So it'll be interesting.
Right now, the money is
lost.
Is lost.
Oh, lost. It's in the piggy bank. He had to restock the piggy bank. All right. Let's move on to our last favorite segment, Beat Mark's Picks.
Here we go with another segment of Beat Mark's Picks. Chris, you'll be surprised to hear you were the leader last week.
What? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
You were the leader.
What?
By one?
Yes.
Everybody won.
Yes. There was a tie, but we'll count that tie as a win for everybody. But Chris, you went 6 wins.
Suck it.
1 loss.
Yeah, wow. It was my team, right? It was my team. I voted for myself.
Nope. The turning point was you were the only one that chose the S team.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And the S team did pull it off. So, Chris, you went 6-1.
Suck it.
Myself and Lee and our guest, Greg, was 5 wins, 2 losses. And Gil holding up the rear at 4 wins, 3 losses.
Not bad at all. I'll take 5-2.
Yep. So overall, Lee, you're still ahead. 58 wins, yes. 52 losses. Chris, 1 back. 57-53.
Woo! He's always got 1 in the back.
Yep. And myself, 2 back. 56 wins, 54 losses.
Wow.
Our guest is 53 wins, 36 losses. In Gil's 2-week stretch, he is 10 wins, 4 losses.
So thank God we're all over 500.
All finally over 500, all of us, yeah.
Those picks were getting pretty pathetic. I mean, the leader for a long time was under 500.
Yep. Hey, just saying, if I win again, y'all both suck.
Yeah, I agree.
I do too. I agree.
You should not be beating this
I agree.
All right. First on the agenda, two familiar teams, host versus host. It is Team 10, put your thumb in it, against Team 1, who are you calling the 10 pin, or who are you calling a pinhead? All right, so me and Chris will go last. What do you think, Mark?
Okay, well, it's a 38 pins you're giving away to this team. It's the easiest pick of the week.
Like every week.
Got to go with Team 1 here. Who are you calling a pinhead?
Okay, so let's see. We got to put your thumb in it. You know what? I've done a good job. I know I did a good job when I bowled against Chris and I gave him a little motivational speech and ended up beating me the third game. So I'm going to have a little pep talk with the guy before he bowls tomorrow night. So I'm going to go with put your thumb in it. Wow. It's going to be a bounce back week for these guys. Woodman's going to step up because, of course, now that he's lost his $20 in the scratch bracket, that money's gone. So there's no pressure on him now. So he's going to bowl great.
Sympathy bow. Wow. Yeah. Well, as you know, my team is ahead of Chris's team in the standings.
Here we go. Standings again.
The analytical analytics. Analytics.
The analytics say to pick, put your thumb in it, and I am picking.
What are you saying?
The analytics say to go with who you're calling a pinhead, and that's where I'm going.
You just said put your thumb in it.
Yeah. No. That is not on tape. Sorry. All right. Now, here's the one I'm interested in. Who are you going with, Chris?
Don't even tell me you're not going to go with yourself after I've just pumped you up.
I know, but thank you, Neil. I really do appreciate that.
Last time, I'm going to remind my teammates, last time we bowled you guys, all we heard was, yeah, here we go. Uh-huh. It was humiliating. The whole league heard.
Uh-huh. I just say I'm trying to win this beat Mark's pick, so I'm gonna go safer bet is your team. But I feel like we're gonna beat y'all if we do beat you, it's a win for me. But if I don't, at least I got you on the backside. So I
vote Oh my god, Neil, pick your team.
Yeah, but I'm trying to win the beat. But I'm trying to beat Mark's picks at the end of the day. So
yeah, you're leaving Neil high and dry.
He's doing the right thing.
Yeah. Hey, I heard Camilla and Leland might be sick tomorrow night. I think they're already calling in sick on this one.
That would be the only way. I could definitely see that. But I'm going to force, I don't care what Leland says, I'm going to force him to bowl. So he's got to bowl bad. All right, next pair. Very interesting pair. We talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. Probably the toughest pick of the night. Neil Brady's team bringing in the two hotshot subs and Slate's Rockheads against Team 6, three fingers deep, three fingers kind of in a desperation mode since they lost last week, and they are needing this win. What's the spread, Mark?
This will be 46 pins with the new taking those two bowlers. So 46 pins will go to three fingers deep here.
And as always, Slate's Rockheads are first in the standing. That's where my pick's going, is Slate's Rockheads. They've been dominant. Neil's been dominant. And it's an easy pick for me, although I do like three fingers deep.
I got to say, I'm going to go the other way here. And I think Neil going first might have a little bit of a, it might affect him a little bit. So I feel like it's going to be a close one, but I'm going to go with three fingers deep here.
Oh, wow. Chris?
Man, it's a hard one.
You talking about the picks?
It's a hard one because Kyle, who knows if Keith's our keeper? Who knows if he's been bowling, if he's been...
Yeah. It'll be Caden versus Neil, Caden. But yeah, Kiefer...
Just let you know, so Kiefer won the Fanatic Fridays team tournament about a month ago.
So, damn. Well, I also won clean my ass, too. So.
Oh, God. That's disrespectful.
Come on now. If you don't pick me, I pick you. At least be complimentary.
I know. I hear you. But, Neil, I'm trying to win this thing.
You're the type of guy who wouldn't even give you a reach around. I mean, come on, buddy. I'm throwing you a reach around. Come on. Help me out here.
He likes his ass slapped.
I know you have two righties versus two righties. You know,
the reach around righties?
And one lefty on the board. And freaking, he's really good.
Ryan's really good on some days. Maybe if you hadn't gone to that Winfrey School of
School of Hard Knocks
development, maybe you could figure this out.
Man.
Man.
All right. Ready?
No, go against me. No, I'm doing the pick for him. He's gonna pick Three Fingers Deep because he has no faith in Slate's Rockhead.
I'm doing Neil. I'm doing Gilbert. He'll be proud of me. I'm going analytics here.
All right. So he's going Neil's team. All right, so
I have faith in me and my teammates and subs.
Hey, I voted for you. I just voted
my
for you.
Team.
Yeah,
I don't want you on my bandwagon. I really want you to change your pick. I don't want you on my bandwagon. We're gonna bowl worse with you on it.
I went analytical.
You went anal?
But when you can't count to more than 10, how analytical
be? I got Rick's team.
No, you can't.
Yep, I got Rick's team.
Yeah, can. This is the first for the JB Trios podcast. He's switching. We know he's a switch hitter already, so what's the difference?
Okay. Hey, so those are really good baseball players.
All right, next pair we got. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
He's got Rick and those guys. Okay, so
he's got
split.
Rick.
It's split. Yeah.
So next pair we got Wicked Trio against Team 5, Slate Sloppy Second.
Wait, who voted for Neil's team?
I bet Three Fingers Deep, but didn't you, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. So two and two.
What the lead is?
I picked Neil.
Oh, you picked Neil.
Neil seems higher in the standing, right, so I got to
right now, me and Lee are tied. Me and Lee are tied. So okay, that's a loss.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah.
So
all right. Yeah, so that's a loss for you. Okay, so next pair, Wicked Trio against Mark's team, Slate Sloppy Seconds. What's the spread, Mark?
73 pins.
Well, the analytics say go with the higher team, Slate Sloppy Seconds. They're in second.
Versus who?
Wicked Trio. That's Larry. Larry was gone last week. Now, for all I know, he should be back.
I got Slate Sloppy Seconds.
And Tim.
That was easy pick.
That's two.
I got wrong team.
Wrong team. What do you think, Neil?
I'm going against the grain this week. We're going to go with Larry Hoover.
Oh.
Because, of course, we know that Larry Hoover from the Animal House fame.
Exactly.
Right,
that's what I was thinking.
Delta House. You got to go with the Animal House. So I'm going with Larry Hoover and Wicked Trio.
And, of course, Mark is picking.
Yeah, I'm taking our team in this one.
Nice. All right. Man. So next pair we've got Team 12, the men in the 10-pin against Team 4, Blame It on the Alcohol. What's the spread on this one?
22 pins to the men in a 10-pin.
I'll go
with Blame It on the Alcohol here.
I'm going to join your Mark. They're higher in the standings.
Oh, come on.
Plus, I don't want you to pass me.
Who are they going against?
He's going for Blaming on the Alcohol with me.
Okay.
With you. The men in the 10-pin.
Yeah. What lane are they on?
25-26.
25-26. Damn.
What's the pin count?
22.
Oh, fuck.
Only 22. It's not much.
It's nothing.
Two marks.
Fred's got something to bowl for.
Will Chris pick Fred for the first time?
Yeah, but who knows if they're going to have the full team here.
They should have a full team. They have it about 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Well, Chris is thinking, what do you think, Neil?
Well, you know what? I want to kind of go with the men in the 10-pin, but I don't know. I think they're going to struggle. I think Fred and them are going to do enough to get the W, and so I don't see the men in the 10-pin doing it. So
Fred's been bowling better here as of late, so I think they are going to do good.
I agree.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I got Fred, and I believe it. I mean, Neil maybe believe in that. I was thinking the same thing. But I think Neil sees it too. So, yeah, I got
clean sweep.
Thanks, Chris.
Clean sweep for Blaming on the Alcohol. So it's perfect kibosh. All right, next pair, BD in the pocket against Team 2 OG. Fourth place against fifth place. What's the spread, Mark?
91 pins here.
Oh, geez. This is actually the second toughest pick, I think. OG, they've been consistent, but Patrick was the off for the first time in a few months last week. I think, damn it.
You got to go with the team in the higher end standings there, Luke.
I know. That's my analytics, and they are in fourth above the fifth place team. I'm going to make an exception in this case. I'm going with BD in the pocket because I believe Matthew Macy bowled pretty good last week, and Brian's not doing too bad either. Christian's doing good too. So I'm going with BD.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
You know what? I'm going to go with, yeah, considering you guys were putting Darren on a pedestal that he was the next, the up and coming, Pete Weber, which of course I, extinguished those,
you sure did.
Praise last week. Yeah. By bitch slapping him around a little bit. I think there's going to be an effect last week of him keeping smiling but not winning. So I think that BD in the pocket, they've been bowling pretty well. Bimmerman's been yelling quite a bit, keeping up the mojo. So I'm going to go with BD in the pocket. I think they're going to take the team.
Yeah, I got BD. I believe in them.
Where's your analysis?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to take BD, but this is going to be pretty close.
It is. It's a tough pick.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's why both teams are up there, fourth and fifth. All right, next pair, almost empty nests against family, the S team, mother versus daughter.
Easy, daughter S team, father. S team, S team, lock it in, yeah. S team, S team, S team, double S team.
I believe in the S team, so smart me down for the S.
Okay, I'm taking almost empty nest.
And this is why you're in last place. This is exactly why you're in last place. It's,
the handicap shouldn't be that much. How much is the...
It's 116.
Yeah, that's the
reason why you're in last place.
Yeah, they're usually getting 200, so that's not too much for them.
They weren't that bad last week, really.
That's true, too.
They really weren't. I mean, you know, if you look, last week's high score, I mean... We were right up there. I mean, they gave it to us. We had to go to the 10th frame.
Yeah, they're good when they can be.
Yeah.
What do you think, Neil?
You know what? I think I'm going to go with almost empty nest, too. Now, here's the deal, right? Let's be honest. There is a whole family factor here. So the S team, if they really put a bitch slapping on them, right? You know, Chris bowls really well.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. The in-laws and everybody may not be too happy about it. So
we also got to think of the kid factor because when grandma and grandpa are on the same pair, mom and dad get to take it easy and relax and bowl good that night. So
I promise you, Chris is more determined to go against his in-laws because of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Davises on this one. I'm going with almost empty nest. And I'm a big fan of Ann B. Davis, who was the housekeeper from the Brady Bunch. So
there it is. That's why. Okay, now I know. All right, last pair. We've got Pin High against the last place team, Rick and the Two Mics. What's the spread, Mark?
The spread here is 88 pins.
Wow, that's a lot higher than I thought.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with no analytics here, Rick and the Two Mics, only because Craig – hates when I pick them. I really like their team, and I like Gino, too. He's running in the race for MVP, but I got to go with Ricky and the Two Mics here.
What the dog doing?
Is that freaking Michael Anderson?
Yeah, that sounded just like Kenderson.
It did.
Listen to it.
What the dog doing?
It does.
What the dog doing? I got to go with Pin High here.
Oh, okay.
Go with Pin High.
Well, you know what? I'm also going to go with Pin High. There's two things. Number one, Craig Voren had a cut thumb last week, and we couldn't get him help on that, so his bowling really went south. But he's going to have a rebound week. And Ricky owes me $20, so if he doesn't pay up Ricky owes me tomorrow night, I'm going to beat his ass senseless in the parking lot, and he ain't going to be able to bowl well.
He's got to pay 20 pays in up. Points. You're charging them points too. You're going to have Rocco and Rocco.
Exactly. That's right. There's interest on this. Yeah.
Exactly.
Lee, who do you vote for?
I voted for Ricky's team.
I got Ricky's team too.
Wow. All right. There's our picks. We've got Neil Brady, bowler of the week, 125 pins over his average, 746, winner of the March Madness bracket, and definitely kudos. High average as well. So, Neil, you're the man, as Morgan Freeman said. And honorable mentions. Honorable mentions to Chris Saunders, 114 over his average, and Rick Connor, 84. Tina Clay, again, fourth week in a row. Bowler of the week for the ladies, 82 pins over Tina Saunders. And
Anne Marie Davis, honorable mentions, both pretty good as well. And high average, Neil Brady, 209. Garrett Williams, the closest at 204. Neil's got a 5-pin lead. Ron Reynolds at 204 as well in third. For the ladies, Camilla is down to 168, but she's still got a dominant lead. Amanda Cunningham down to 144 in second. Tina Saunders tied with her mom at 133. Who's going to claim third place there, Tina or Nancy? Let's go to the MVP race. Mr. Kyle Howell, Mark's teammate, reclaims Lee's spot for MVP running. He's at 161. Geno Clay right on his tail at 159. And hey, look at this. A new name in the top three for MVP. I don't believe he's got a chance of winning, though. Lee McDonald Jr., 149 points. I don't remember winning that many points in ever at all.
Oh, it's called creative bookkeeping.
Exactly. Hey, Mark knows about it. I learned from that traveling league secretary. Then we got Tina Saunders, who's dominantly leading the ladies at 147. Nancy Davis, her mom, right behind her at 115. And Anna Marie Davis, her auntie, 113.
Hi, guys. Thank you for so much for tuning in. Thank you, Neil fucking Brady, for joining the podcast and being part of it. And
nice middle name.
Indulging us on your top 10 movies of the worst movies, which some I do not agree with, but that's none the case. So thank you so much. Tune in next time as you see that Fred is out of the Coke Bottle bracket and Georgie wins it all, and the S team is still in first place. If you do not turn back in, you'll be like my wife, fouling.
Oh, you had to make her that. Oh, had to. All right, anyway, guys, have a good night. See y'all tomorrow. Neil, again, thanks for subbing in and guesting in tonight. Awesome top 10 picks.
Yes. No problem. Thank you. I want to thank all the little people like Woodman Z, who have helped me get to the top by me stepping on them. Thank you very much.
Great. I love it. All right. Guys, we'll see you. Mark, take it easy. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
Yeah. Have a good night. Mark, bye.
Later, guys.
Ooh, good night.